This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. This week, it's a little bit of a Cold War redux. In the news, you've got Russia and its sinking economy, President Obama announcing a warming of relations with Cuba, and then North Korea is completely irate about a comedy that Sony Pictures had planned to release later this month. Well, to sort through it all, I'm joined by our regular contributors, Joan O'Sara with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And let's start with Russia first, because yesterday, President Vladimir Putin gave this kind of defiant news conference where he blamed the West for his country's current economic crisis. And he said that it would take about 2 years before things really turn around. This comes at the same time that Russia's currency has lost nearly half of its value compared to the dollar. So, Joe, why is Russia in this dire economic state?
Well, for several reasons. Number one, the price of oil has gone down so much, and they're so completely dependent on oil and gas as their primary export. Number two, the sanctions have had an effect, without question.
You really think the sanctions have had an effect?
Well, yes. The big companies have to roll over their debt, and they have lost their access to the Western debt markets.
You know, the thing about the sanctions is what it does is make a bad situation worse. If you were to chart the fall of oil and chart the fall of the ruble, it pretty much goes right in sync. But the sanctions make it impossible for Russia to renegotiate its debt, $600 billion in debt. It just kind of pushes the country more towards being a failed economic state. And also, if I can just add, Putin spoke for 3 hours and took something like 52 different questions and was talking a lot about diversifying the economy. I will believe it when I see it. One of the great tragedies of Russia is it has all this human talent. It has these scientists and researchers, and many of them have left for Israel, for example, which is why they have such a thriving tech sector.
You know, the other thing, though, is what compounds all this is that Western companies and a lot of Russians as well don't trust their rule of law. Mm-hmm. And so everything that's bad that's happening there now is just compounded by the fact that, you know, there ought to be investment now because the ruble's cheap.
Right. But, you know, even as they're trying to push up interest rates to 17% to keep the investment, you have to ask yourself, who would want to keep their money in Russia? It's to your point. Who has any trust in this government?
The idea being that I'm going to put my money in a Russian bank and I'll get 17% interest rate.
Or a bond. But, I mean, my gosh, you have to have a little bit of faith in your investment, you know, in a kind of a basic way to want to do that. And nobody does.
Well, on this question of sanctions and whether or not they really work, it seems that President Obama doesn't think they're working when it comes to Cuba, where after more than 50 years of sanctions and the embargo, he is proposing a loosening of a lot of the rules against that country, things like how much money Americans can send there, allowing U.S. banks to set up relations with Cuban banks so there can be credit card and debit card transactions. And then, of course, the most important one people care about is we can bring back from Cuba, if you're able to go there, cigars and rum.
$100 worth of cigars.
$100.
Joe's buying his ticket.
No, they even put a price on it.
Well, so the question I have is how much of this is actually going to have an effect on the Cuban economy and change things?
It'll have a small effect. It won't have a giant effect. Like many of Obama's now very bold initiatives, there's only so much he can do without a law changing. And the embargo is part of the law.
Right. I mean, he still has to wait for Congress to pass a lot of this stuff. But I think that the immediate effect could be really on civil society. Because if you look at what happened when, say, China started to open up and, you know, Western technology was brought in, the internet developed, that really helped develop civil society. And even though China is still a communist country, to kind of create opportunities for people to voice their feelings in it.
And just to be the contrarian here, I just don't think that that's going to happen. I think this was a very symbolic gesture that the president made. But the fact is that there were people who were going there. There were people who were going there before the Bush administration really started cracking down on travel. It just seems that, you know, okay, so you can bring out $400 worth of goods from Cuba. That's not a huge amount of money. And the Cuban government's not going to let things go through if they don't actually think it's going to help them stay in power.
Listen, I think it's a very important symbolic gesture to bring a country that was really, you know, aside from North Korea, the last Cold War outlier into the fold at a time when we need to strengthen our Latin American relations anyway. I think it's a great thing.
I think it'll help Cuba in terms of bringing in, John Deere tractors and things like, you know, goods that can help their society. Where it's not going to help is things like iPhones or gadgetry or things that don't
consumer
actually
products.
Help products that don't really help the government advance its agenda.
But, I mean, here's a question I have, which is if sanctions are supposedly working in Russia, but we don't think they're working here, do they ever work? I mean, what is the actual role that the U.S. government can play in terms of trying to affect change, at least economically, around the world?
Well, Russia's a much bigger and more important economy than Cuba, and sanctions have had an effect. I mean, they're not the main thing, but when you can't take your money in and out of a country, that's a big deal. And in Russia, I think one of the biggest impacts has been to really shake the unity of the oligarchs and the financiers in the country who are like, you know, this is hitting our pocketbook, and Putin. And that starts to have a political effect. It kind of fractures these alliances that he's had.
You know, Putin and Fidel Castro, in some ways, are reacting to sanctions in the same way. Putin is using it to rally the country around him. You know, he's standing up to the bad America. And Castro did that for 50 years. By the way, the sanctions did have an effect on Cuba. I mean, they're still using those 1957 cars.
Well, finally, let's turn to North Korea, because I'm trying to figure out what you guys make of this situation with Sony deciding not to release this comedy, The Interview, about the attempted assassination of North Korea's leader. We've talked about this last week. What's your reaction?
I have been reading all the condemnations of Sony over the last 48 hours or so about freedom of expression and losing their nerve and so on. But I think to myself, what else were they supposed to do in the face of what seems to be a fairly serious threat to people in movie theaters?
I was laughing this story off a little bit last week, but I take it pretty seriously now. I agree with Joe that, you know, if I were running a big company, I would not want anybody to be hurt in my movie theater. But on the other hand, it reminds me a little bit of when there was a fatwa against Salman Rushdie. And, you know, everybody kind of rallied behind that and said, no way can this happen. But here you have a situation which everyone has capitulated very quickly, and it's disturbing.
Well, we have a very short amount of time left. What are some of the other stories you're paying attention to in the weeks ahead, Rana?
Well, one more week to Christmas, so I'm really looking at consumer spending and what we're going to see about the robustness of this recovery in the last few days in the run-up to Christmas.
Joe?
Well, I'm looking at the new bold Obama, and I'm wondering if now that he's doing stuff on immigration and Cuba and so on, whether he's finally going to say no to the Keystone Pipeline. I suspect he is, although my predictions have not been that good on this show.
Well, Jonah Zare with The New York Times and Rana Furuhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this program, don't forget, you can always find us online at moneytalking.org or as a podcast available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.